Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to our latest episode of Serial Coma. This is one of your hosts, Mala Bhattacharjee, former soap reporter, and I'm here with my partner in crime.
And I am Elizabeth Carey Mahone, author of Scandalous Women. Hi, everyone. This has been quite an interesting 2 weeks on soaps. Starting with, horny priests or horny former priests.
I mean, you know, scandalous women, scandalous men, we have a whole lot of scandal going on. I admit, we're of the Thornbirds generation. So we were sort of trained from a young age.
I loved that book and the miniseries so much, and I just don't think that there's enough torn priests on soaps.
You know, definitely. I mean, they used to do more of it. My favorite was back in the day on Sunset Beach, Rafe and Gabby, where he was a priest and she was his brother's wife, and they got stuck in a cave during some crisis, and, you know, one thing led to another.
I remember that storyline.
He was hot.
I think I probably read about it in Soap Opera Digest.
Yeah. So when you've been telling me, because I really don't watch GH that much anymore, you have been telling me for a couple of years now, I'd say, or at least it felt like years, about Griffin.
Well, it's been it's been about a year since Dr. Handsome Man of God came on the show as Duke's long lost son that he never knew about. And I was hoping that Griffin was going to be the son of Duke and Sister Camellia, who had turned out to be Duke's sister, but they were just going to retcon that and have it be that he was raised by this former nun. But we don't know who Griffin's mother is. And
I remember Camellia.
Yeah. And so far his time on the show has been spent counseling Sonny when he's not performing surgery. And then he had a brief backstory where it turned out that he'd had an affair with Nathan's, until this point, unknown wife, Claudette. So, you know, they had that story. And then, you know, Claudette is allegedly killed, possibly by Valentine. So then he went back to being Dr. Handsome Man of God again and, you know, guiding Sonny. But the last couple of months, particularly since Ava had her burn accident, the writers have put Griffin and Ava together in various scenes where he's drawn to her because of her pain. And she wants to be a better person, and she regrets the things that she's done. And, you know, she's developing feelings for him because he's, a good, good man, the whole thing. And it climaxed, as it were, almost, when she kissed him when he was comforting her. And he was like, oh, no, you're reading my signals wrong. I don't feel for you that way. And, of course, Ava's like, well, something feels for me that way. And so she went off to Russia, where she met Steve Burton Jason, which is a whole other story, and put her own wishes aside to help patient number 6, as he was called, escape. And Griffin went to Russia to rescue her because, you know, for reasons, and somehow managed to get to Russia and back in like a day, because, you know,
well, of course,
that's totally possible. And so he had this long conversation with Gopher from Love Boat, where Gopher was telling him he needed to come back to the church because his parishioners need him. But, you know, Griffin's still torn. He still doesn't know if he should be a priest. So he goes
right.
over to Ava's apartment. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's where I watched YouTube and saw. So I picked up and I watched that on YouTube this morning in preparation for the podcast where he goes over to Ava's.
Right.
And everything you have told me about their storyline on paper sounds so good. Like,
fantastic.
Oh, my gosh. Right? They're building to this amazing thing. Right? All that tension. I mean, and then I watched, and I was like, I mean, I love Maura West. She could read the newspaper, and it would be amazing.
The problem is she and Matt Cohen have no chemistry.
Yeah, and let's just say his cheekbones dominate a scene more than his performance does.
See, that's the thing. You know, when they put Maura West together with Brian Craig, even though Brian Craig was not the world's greatest actor, Maura West was able to bring something out of him where he was able to meet her more than halfway in their scenes. So it made the Ava Morgan storyline compelling, and you know, you were invested in it and the whole thing. I want to be invested in Ava and Griffin, but unfortunately Matt Cohen he looks good. I mean, he's a gorgeous man, but he just does not have the acting chops to rise above the writing that's not particularly great to meet Maura West even halfway.
It was painful. It was painful to watch. I mean, because, again, Maura can act across from a houseplant and make it compelling, but I felt like Matt Cohen just wasn't stepping up to the plate with material where, you know, we need to see priestly pathos. You know, we need to see that build of tension when she tells him, you know, he wouldn't know what to do with her. That is literally, that is the line. That is the line that flips the switch.
Yes.
In a scene, right?
Where he grabs
her. You wouldn't
her
know
and
what to do. Right. And it was just... It did
even,
not...
Even, like, the kissing scenes didn't, you know, there was no heat. There was no, like, when Morgan and Ava got together and he, like, took her up against the door.
Yeah.
You know, you were like, oh, my God. Here, it was just like... Okay, I'm kissing you. You're going to unbuckle my pants.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to take my shirt off. Kissy, kissy, kissy.
Yeah, it was very choreographed. And also the choice to use the shaky hand cam for a love scene montage. I mean, I got nauseous. You should not want your viewers to get nauseous when your characters are making love. That is... You know, like, I'm still a little queasy, and that is not what you want your pairing to elicit in their viewers. So it was a letdown. I was expecting some hot, angsty priest loving, and, it didn't deliver.
Yeah, and then I watched the episode, Friday's episode, where, you know, they have the day after, and, you know, it was just so, like... She was like, we should just forget this ever happened. And he's like, yeah, I guess I'm still torn. And she's like, yeah, so let's forget this ever happened. And then he just sort of looked pained or like he had gas. I couldn't tell which. And then he left.
Oh, my God.
And it's just sort of like anticlimactic. And then I watched Days. You know, I picked the episode where Nicole came to Eric and told her that, you know, she loved him. And it was so, like, the two of them. And she's like, I have to admit it. I'm in love with you. And the look on his face and the look on her face. And granted, Eric and Nicole have a lot of history. But a part of that history was played with another actor. It wasn't all
exactly
played with Greg Vaughn. But,
right,
like, the two of them together, and he's like, you know, should you be saying these things to me? And she's like, I shouldn't be saying this to you, but I have to say this to you. I'm in love with you, and Brady knows I'm in love with you. And then they were like, they would kiss, and it was so passionate and juicy, and then they would stop and, like, look longingly at each other, and then they would kiss some more. And it was
right?
so hot.
It was so good. It was so good.
It was like,
I have been rooting for them since Eric came back as a priest. I mean, he came back as a priest, and even then they wanted each other, and the show was going to go there, but then they foisted her up on Daniel, and that was a
And then
mess.
He got raped by Kristen.
Yeah. And the whole Brady thing, and basically the show has been screwing them over for a very long time, but this was a beautiful, you know, consummation.
It was poignant.
Years. It was poignant. They kept stopping to talk and discuss their history, but it never took away from the sexual tension.
Because the way they were looking at each other with such longing and tenderness, you know,
and hunger.
Like,
and,
yes. And, you know, I love me some Greg Vaughn. But when he played Lucky in General Hospital, you know, he was so miscast as Lucky. And,
yeah.
you know, they turned Lucky into a sad sack because, you know, Jason has to be the hero. So when he
right.
came on Days of Our Lives, you know, I wasn't sure. I was like, you know, can this guy act? But clearly he can. He was just in the wrong role on GH.
Right.
Just,
Eric
like,
has been a great role for him. And also, again, there's still, I mean, Days of Our Lives is always, at least as long as I've been watching, a very Catholic show. I mean, admittedly,
yeah.
All these adulterers keep getting married in the Catholic Church and having pre-Cana lessons. But that aside, the slightly kooky Catholic Church stuff aside, Faith is such a huge part of who these characters are. And still a part of Eric. He's still very, very moral and torn. And, you know, he may not be a priest anymore, but it still informs the way he behaves. And the way others see him. So him and Nicole getting together, knowing that she's with his brother, I mean, it was just so layered and so angsty, but beautiful. It was like the opposite
yeah.
of Ava and Griffin.
It's, you know, I mean, it should, Ava and Griffin, the culmination of that should have been what Eric and Nicole were. I mean, you know, when Eric and Nicole finally, like, started to make love, it was so beautiful and so, like, tender and touching. And then even afterwards when they were talking about, you know, what had happened between them and, you know, how wrong it was and there was Brady, they still couldn't help themselves from making love again. I mean, the
right.
episode
and
that I watched, that's how it ended.
Yeah.
They were, like, making love again because they just couldn't help themselves.
Dude, they did it, like,
and even
four
like,
or five times. I counted. I was like, you go. There must have been chafing. I am hoping that Nicole stopped off and got some chafing balm and, like, some cranberry juice.
And a huge jug of cranberry juice.
Yep.
But, like, even the scenes with John and Brady, where Brady's telling John about, you know, he knows – about Nicole and Eric and what he tried to do, and John's just looking at him like, man, you're stupid. Which was hilarious.
Yes, and Brady's about to go, like, he's going full on villain now, with in terms of blackmailing Nicole to stay away from Eric, and I know Ariane Zucker's leaving, so that's probably the end of Nicole and Eric as we know it, but they're leaving on such, they're breaking them up just as they got together, which is horrible but wonderful. Like,
because they've had that moment.
Tension. Oh, it's just, you thought they were going to be happy on their farm with their kid, you know, with baby Holly and the pygmy goats. And no, they're still going to be star-crossed. But that's what you want out of your soap. You want angst. I don't get angst. When I
well, yeah,
from GH,
it's like that's why the day after, or not even the day after, because the show picked up, I guess, like 20 minutes after he, actually the show started where he like rolled off her. Even then there was no like tension. There was no like, oh my God, what did we do? What does this mean? Mm-hmm. It was just all sort of matter of fact. Like, so are you going to leave the priesthood? I don't know. Well, your body tells me that you've made the when you were having sex with me, your body said something else, but none of that, like, Ava, I want to be with you, but, you know, I've devoted so much time to the church, and I don't know. It was just sort of like,
yes,
kind of
exactly.
Like.
And again, Maura West is amazing, but she should not have to be running the Maura West Acting School for Useless Himbos. Like, for crying out loud. I mean, I don't know. You know, and GH in general, like, every time, you know, you or one of our other friends, Tiffany, talks about it, every time I tune in, it's always people I don't know. Like, I'm like, who are all these people? Nina, Valentine, Nell, you know, even Ava and Griffin. I'm like, none of these people have been on the show longer than a couple of years. And again, that makes it
hard. Well, every now and again, they throw us a bone. Every now and again, they throw us a bone with like an Anna scene or or a Laura scene, you know, Laura and Kevin, who are so cute together.
But it's rare, but it's super rare.
Yeah, it's rare.
Right?
And everyone keeps saying, you know, I see people online all the time going, we don't want to see Brad and Lucas. We want to see Brad and Lucas. And we don't get any Brad and Lucas in scenes where they should actually be there. Like, Bobby was having this lunch to celebrate her years at General Hospital. And it's like, oh, where are Brad and Lucas? Oh, they're going to adopt a kid off screen.
Of course they are. And now I guess GH has also jettisoned their lesbian bi couple, Parker and Christina. So they're really hitting it on the
park. I don't know what's happening. Yeah, I don't know what's happening with that, whether, you know, they're writing Lexi off so that, and she's going to go off to Oregon with Parker, who she's just gone on, like, 3 dates with. I mean, I know the old joke about what a lesbian's wearing on a first date, a U-Haul, but this is ridiculous. This is a soap.
Right? Excuse me. Right? They should not be U-Hauling, like, after 3 dates just because General Hospital is too busy highlighting all these other characters that no one cares about. Like, which is why, you know, I love that you were able to come back to Days of Our Lives and you still recognized people. And it's the same thing with me.
Yes.
I came back to Days and I recognized everyone. Young and the Restless, I picked it up after a long time. And, you know, when 90% of the characters on Days and Y&R are veterans, are people that we all know. Non-soap viewers who follow my Twitter are like, non-soap viewers who follow us on Twitter go, oh, you're still talking about Victor and Nikki? I remember them. You know, you can't do that with General Hospital because it's like, who are these people? There's no Victor and Nikki equivalent on General Hospital. You know what I mean?
Unless
or
it's
John
Sunny
Orleans.
And Carly. Unless it's Sunny and Carly, and they should never, those two should never be the backbone of any soap.
Absolutely not. I'm sorry. They are no Victor and Nikki and no John and Marlena or Doug and Julie or, you know, Eric Forrester, like Brooks.
Yeah,
Wilson.
Or even,
they're not.
Even Brooke and, yeah. Or even, you know, the whole Bridge storyline, you know, Brooke and Ridge or, you know, the friendship that Brooke still has with Eric, despite their, you know, their years of, you know, they were married and then they were divorced, they still managed to keep a friendship and a love between them. So, you know, when they're in scenes together, you know, you feel that.
It's stretching back 25 years, more than 25 years, you know, more than 25 years, which is phenomenal. There is no equivalent on GH. And so this actually sort of segues into Y&R this week, which was mining Ashley's history. From when her mother cheated on John Abbott and you know, Ashley
and got pregnant with her.
Most of us, and got pregnant with Ashley. because I guess most people in town didn't know this secret, and they blew it wide open this week because they could, because they had been playing Ashley and the Abbott family for decades. I mean,
I think bringing back Dina and mining that relationship with her children was a brilliant, brilliant idea. I don't know who should blame it, whether it's Kay Alden and Sally Sussman, but that was the smartest thing that they did, was to bring Dina back on and to play the tension in her relationship with Ashley because of that secret.
Yeah.
And, you know, also with Beth, I mean, Tracy, and also with Jack. So that whole, you know, Abbott dynamic, and also finally giving Abby something to do with her getting close with her grandmother, was brilliant, brilliant writing and a brilliant, brilliant idea.
Absolutely.
That's using history.
Yes, and we've missed, actually, since we lost Catherine and Jeannie Cooper, you know, we've kind of missed having a senior citizen shifter on the show. And I don't like Dina as much as I loved Kay, but, you know, her positioning on the show has been brilliant and important, and it impacts so many people. And again, like, those are things that shows like General Hospital are missing right now. You know, do they even play anyone over the age of 50? Or...
Well, I guess Mo is over 50, but that's about it.
Yeah, and I don't know if
that's
that,
about
you know,
it.
They keep acting like Sonny is still, you know, 35, so I don't know that that counts, you know. Yeah, so it makes me sad because General Hospital is the show I grew up watching, but then I turn – it's shows like Y&R and Days and B&B that I turn to for the long-term – family and character work, you know.
Well, it's interesting because, like you, I mean, I've been watching General Hospital since, you know, Luke and Laura days, and you know, so as much as it kills me, you know, I'm ride or die with GH. You know, I'm gonna keep hoping that it gets better, but then I turn on Days. And I'm watching it, and there's, like, Lucas, who's, like, you know, he's drunk and, you know, crying over his son's grave, and he's, like, you know, he's not going to let them desecrate it to dig up Will's body to prove that he's still alive or whatever. And then Will appears to him, and they're having this conversation, and it's so poignant. And Brian DeTeo is doing such fantastic work. And then, you know, Kate shows up, and they're having this conversation.
God.
And
yes.
And she's like, I want to help you. And the whole thing, and it's just, you know, this wonderful, amazing, touching scene. And then I contrast it with GH, where, you know, they're having a memorial for Morgan after a year, which consisted of them standing around putting on Perks coffee hats and, you know, looking at some, like, bulletin board with some pictures of Morgan.
Ugh.
I'm like,
yeah, it's
really?
Night and Days, no pun fully intended. Yeah, I mean, it's remarkable, the difference. And again, Lauren Coslow and Brian DeTillo just took that beautiful scene, and it breaks your heart. I mean, you honestly believe they lost, you know, this wonderful child, you know. And anytime anyone talks about Will on the show, you get that sense of history and that love and that affection. You know, it's obviously building to him being he's alive. But with
and I can't
Morgan,
wait for Sammy to come back.
Oh my God! The last scene of this week's Days was somehow Paul convinced John to help him dig up Will's body since they couldn't get the parents' agreement
permission.
And literally,
oh my God!
And I don't know why John was up for this. Who knows? But so he and Paul are there at the middle, you know, at late at night, like the grave diggers from Hamlet. Or is it Macbeth? Whichever, you know, digging, about to dig. Like, literally, the shovel hits the ground, and Sammy grabs John's shovel. That's the last scene.
Yay!
I was like, oh, my God. Seeing Allison Sweeney back, even knowing she was coming back, it didn't spoil a thing, because you just get that beautiful moment, as I said, of her grabbing John's shovel. And just, damn. That is good soap. That is a Friday cliffhanger.
Yeah. And the big problem with GH is Morgan, when he was still on the show, he was such a terrible character. I mean, even the whole making him bipolar didn't negate the fact that he was just such a terrible character. So it's like people on the show are like upset over Morgan's death, and I'm like, why?
Yeah.
He was awful.
Yeah. Will wasn't great. He kind of, you know, was a little bit of a shit there towards the end, cheating and just whatever. But the fact that, again, this is Marlena Evans' grandson, you know, he's a Brady, he's a Horton, he's so tied to the canvas that no matter what he may have done while Guy Wilson was playing him, the fact that he is so integral to all these core families makes you care. With Morgan,
well,
also
the thing when Guy Wilson was playing him, and also the actor who played Will beforehand, you know, they played Will with all his relatives on the show. So you had scenes with Will and Marlena. You had scenes with Will and Sammy. You had scenes with Will and Lucas. Like, I can't even remember if there ever was a scene with just Morgan and Bobby.
I don't
where,
think so.
You know, Bobby got to spend time.
Right, or Morgan and Lucas, or, well, I mean, Lucas doesn't even get to have scenes with his sisters, so why would he have scenes
or
with
even
family?
Morgan and Jax. I mean, Jax was his stepfather, and Morgan loved Jax. He, like,
Dude,
you know, adored Jax. And then when Jax came back for the whole, like, you know, Nell reveal storyline, he never once had a scene with Brian Craig as Morgan.
Nope. It was ridiculous. And there was a time when the fan base, and I subscribed to this theory, had a whole conspiracy theory that Morgan was actually Jax's, because it could work. It could work. It could have worked. Carly and Jax could have had a one-night stand that they never talked about when Jax came over. I can't remember who came over to who, but one of them told the other that Sonny and Brenda had gotten back together. So they could have had revenge sex. And never talked about
it. Was that like the scene on the docks when Brenda came back and Carly saw Brenda and Sonny like kiss, and then or Jack saw them kiss or something before he dumped her at the wedding? Yeah, he could have. Yeah, he and Carly could have had sex that night.
So there you go. It could have. We always had that conspiracy theory that Morgan was secretly Jax's. And then he turned out to be, like, this douchebag in the form of Brian Craig's Morgan, and we were all like, never mind. He does not have to be Jax's son after all.
which is the sad thing, because the Morgan, before Brian Craig played the role, the Morgan that they had created was this sweet young kid who, you know, was the counterpoint to Drew Garrett's Michael, who at the time, Michael was a bit of a fuck up, for want of a better word, and Morgan was the good child, but when Chad Duhl took over the role, all of a sudden Michael was the good child, and Morgan was the fuck up.
Yeah.
And I was like, when did that happen? I'm like,
did military school
somehow turn Morgan into a douchebag like Trump? I mean, is that what happened? Because, you know,
apparently.
And that's who Brian Craig played the entire time he was on the show, was this total uncaring. He actually was playing Morgan more like Sonny than.
Which was the intention.
I mean, he really played the role like Sonny's son.
Yeah, well, that was the intention, I think. So we've got about, I don't know, 75 seconds, 90 seconds, I can't count, till they cut us off of this podcast. Do you have any final thoughts about the last couple of weeks in soap?
I really don't care who patient number 6 is, particularly since I had to spent 3 episodes where he tied Henry from As the World Turns Up on a boat. I'm like, I don't even know why they flew Trent Dawson across the country to do this, because it made absolutely no sense. And unless there's payoff down the line with this character Huxley, I don't see what the point was. So
well,
GH is still.
Better... I hope they put him with Laura.
I may have to put GH in a timeout.
All right. You can go in the timeout with me and B&B. If Trent Dawson's back, he better have some scenes with Maura West is all I'm saying.
He didn't.
She deserves that.
Oh.
Yeah.
What a shame.
No scenes with Maura West, so.
Boo. All right. See you guys next week. Hope you enjoyed this podcast.